PFT Media.
You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Bonus episode time, Cinema Crespediso is underway. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. How's it going? Chill with Drewstick Hogburn. Drew.
What up, dude?
Just doing another thing, man. Do another one of them bonus episodes. The one where we go through a lot of stories in a short amount of time.
Whatever you say, Superman.
Wu-Tang Man. No. Superman.
Dude, you got that fucking... You got the curl going. No. You got the single Superman curl. You are not Clark Kent. That is how you turn into Superman.
I don't have my glasses.
Exactly. Your glasses aren't on. You got the curl. You've let the cat out of the bag.
Fat Puerto Rican Superman.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess one would assume if you're going to be racially biased that a Puerto Rican Superman would probably be overweight.
Would a Puerto Rican Superman probably be overweight?
I would assume so.
Why?
Lazy.
Ooh.
Hispanic.
Ooh.
Like I said. Yes.
There we go.
Yes. All three of those.
That's the one I really wanted.
All three of those.
Lazy. Yeah, I mean, you see how lazy I am. I do nothing.
Oh, yeah. Seriously, laziest motherfucker I know.
Laziest motherfucker in the world. That's me. Speaking of lazy, you know who's lazy?
Me.
You too. Yeah. You as well. no one's lazy. The next story. I couldn't make this transition work because we do have a lot of stories, and I am hungry. And we're going to have to work on that too. I have to bring this up because we reported on it jokingly, but Sex and the City 3.
Oh, dude, Jesus fuck.
I just want to, once I start on a story, if there are developments on a story, I feel obligated to continue. And this is actually kind of funny. It's just, so apparently, Sarah Jessica Parker and Kim Cattrall never really got along.
Okay.
Never really got along. So Sarah Jessica Parker was the one who put out there, and we reported on this show previously, that Kim Cattrall was the one holding everything up. Everything was ready to go. Kim Cattrall was like, well, I'll only do this movie if Warner Brothers makes my other movies. And apparently Kim Cattrall's like, that's not the truth. Why would I say anything like that?
That's not the truth.
I've just been flat out saying no to this movie for over a year. She doesn't want to make the movie at all.
Oh, well, good for her.
Right? So she's just, but SJP... is trying to flip it around, make it seem like she's being ungrateful or she's more conniving than it really is. And she's just like, I just don't want to do this movie. And she also said that Sarah Jessica Parker is, quote, like, not very nice.
Sounds like bitches being bitches.
Unfortunately.
That's what it sounds like right there. It's just bitches being bitches, man.
Speaking of bitches being bitches.
Your face.
Batman vs. Superman, : Dawn of Justice.
What about it?
Two of the biggest bitches ever bitch fighting over. Why'd you say Martha? Did you say Martha?
Who's Martha? Who's Martha to you?
Who's Martha?
My mother's name's Martha.
What's up with the Martha?
Your father's name's Martha.
Oh, did I just lose the internet?
I don't know. Did you?
I'll cut all this out.
No, I won't. Of course you won't. You never do.
Ben Affleck, someone asked him about the response to Batman vs. Superman, and he addressed one thing specifically, and he said, if I could only get this to work, then I could tell you what it said. Oh, I see what I got.
You can tell me exactly what it said?
Well, pretty much he admitted that, it was too dark, and fans don't necessarily want to see a movie so overly dark and gritty, at least when it comes to the use of these particular characters.
So, what, they redid shit and made it lighter?
No, I'm talking about Batman vs. Superman specifically. You can already tell in the trailers for Justice League, there's more jocularity,
yeah,
right? And then anything with The Flash, like, if Flash ain't cracking a joke, then why is he even in the scene?
Well, no, exactly. Yes, Flash is going to be the comic relief.
Oh, yes, I'm probably,
obviously,
probably going to be my favorite part. But even Aquaman gets comedy being there at the end when he sees Bruce Wayne in the Batman suit for the first time. He's like, he's dressed like a bat. Cool. You know, trying to be like he's the dumb stoner dude. I don't know what they're doing with him. He's such a weird portrayal. But
it is strange. I mean, I did appreciate the, like, the thing on the social medias with him jamming out on the guitar in his full getup.
Yeah.
That was fucking metal.
I feel like that's what they're going for with Aquaman. He's the rock star god of the underwaters. Yeah.
What? That doesn't make any sense.
Of the fish. Of the fishies. And the mammals? And does that include water mammals?
All of the undersea creatures. All of them. So the crabs.
I guess there are also other people living down there, like Willem Dafoe and Amber Herder down there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
They're in the movie that they're working on.
Okay.
Dolph Lundgren's down there.
Dolph Lundgren's down there, too?
Yes, exciting.
Is he being all scientific and whatnot?
I hope so. I hope he is. I hope he's a scientific aquatic god of some sort.
That'd be amazing.
Ben Affleck said, I can understand people saying Batman vs. Superman was too dark, or this was outside the tone of what I'm used to seeing with the Batman story, and I think that's a fair criticism. So he's sort of not addressing a lot of the other issues with the
outside movie. The tone. It wasn't even... I mean, if he says a Batman, it wasn't really even a Batman movie. It was... This weird hunk of shit.
It wasn't a Batman movie. It was trying to be both, and it could be neither. They had to pick one.
And they didn't.
Because The Dark Knight Returns, what they're pulling from...
Yeah.
...is a Batman story.
Yes.
With touches of Superman.
Hints.
But also good. So good. And then when he comes out at the end, oh, it's man.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
You notice the use of John Denver in a lot of movies this year, dude? A lot of John Denver...
Really?
Take me home, the country road.
Oh, yeah.
West Virginia.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Using an emotional climax during Logan Lucky.
Correct, yes.
Using a very big scene in Kingsman Golden Circle. You were not there for that.
No.
Using a very big scene.
Okay, good for them.
Yeah. Like, they built up the whole scene around the use of that character singing that song. Movie also, all the other, Alien Covenant. Tennessee, he sang that song.
Oh, you're right, man.
And apparently a different John Denver song is used in the movie Okja, which I've yet to watch.
It's on Netflix. It's on the list. Man, so many. Chris,
we still
haven't seen The Defenders. We haven't watched BoJack.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what else have I stopped?
Oh, there's and then there's new stuff, too. Nick Kroll's animated Big Mouth is on. I really want to watch that. It's a cartoon about puberty,
awesome.
and it's all it's like Nick everyone. Nick
Kroll sounds great.
And Nick Kroll and all his friends were all like the comedians that I like.
Awesome. Fantastic.
There's a second season of F is for Family.
I was about to say that. You know, there's that, too.
Just on Netflix.
Mr. Robot Season 3 is about to come out.
Yes, next week. Yes.
I still have only watched the first episode of
Channel Zero,
episode No One House.
Tonight.
Yeah. I'm not going to get to that tonight.
That's why it's being called Peak TV.
It is.
Because there's just literally so much money's being put into too much content for anyone to watch.
Yeah.
And it's a motto that can't be sustained, so it's going to be scaled back a lot. People will probably look back at this time like they went crazy with the content.
They did.
They had too much access, and they didn't do business, because that's why all these people are making stuff and then failing, and then their business crumble. All these independent labels that try, you know, all the PFT medias out there trying to make it happen, and crumbling under the weight of their own hubricity. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's the way it is.
Lovely.
Yeah. So. But there's a reason why, man, we gotta get with this guy and find out how he's doing it. There's a reason why John Denver has been popping up a lot this year.
Okay, why?
There's one guy responsible for the whole thing. His name is Brian L. Schwartz. He's behind something called 7S Management, which has managed John Denver's estate since the year 2010, right? So for seven years now. Over the last few years, he and his business partner have been strategizing to get Denver's music into pop culture.
Yeah.
They were hired by John Denver's children And they, all right, here's the quote. In this position, you always have to be thinking ahead of the curve and be aggressive and active. It takes a while to plant the seeds before you see them grow. And that's what we're seeing now. We really wanted to see an increase in the licensing for film and TV. And we do monthly calls with them, speaking of like producers of TV and movies, and come up with creative ideas. Cobalt knows what movies, commercials, and TV shows are being made and require music and are actively pitching when appropriate. So whenever this company, this management company knows what movies are being made and they get in touch with the producers, like, hey, you want to use some John Denver in your
man?
Could you happen to use some John Denver? We have some ideas that you may like. So that's why this year all that has come to fruition, and it has been the year of John Denver in popular movies. And it's weird, but it all happened at the same time.
Yeah, good for them.
Who would you rather see? I mean, John Denver is okay, I guess. Who would you rather see? Denver. Is there anyone you would be like, put the effort into getting this music out there?
I mean,
I would love to hear more T-Rex. It was pretty awesome in Baby Driver.
I mean, yeah, T-Rex. I could Trex. Use... I mean, I couldn't use any more Rush in my life, but I'm sure the world could.
Oh, we're going to get some with Ready Player One.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty epic. Let's see here. Lucy made a bunch of money.
Did it?
A ton. Let's see. So Lucy weird. Made... a lot of money.
Where it's not that it? Good. The more I think about it, the less I like it.
Here we go. $463 million worldwide.
Fuck me.
And you know it didn't cost that much money to make it.
No, just Luc Besson. That motherfucker does that shit on the cheap.
Of course, he knows how to make a movie on the cheap. So, made a whole bunch of money. And then Valerian, which costs a lot of money.
Did not.
$177 million budget only made $40 million here in America.
So oh, that is rough.
Oof. Oof, Magoof. That's a full-on oof, Magoof, Drew, when it comes to making movies. So it looks like someone is ready to make Lucy 2 as a little bit of a rebound.
Yeah, well, I mean... Wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, think about that one. You've seen the movie.
Hang on a second.
And we can get into spoilers or whatever. It's like the movie's years old.
That don't make no sense. Mm-hmm. She's evolved past her physical form. She became a thumb drive.
She's a thumb drive! Like, what? She's a thumb drive now.
Yeah. So, I mean, what? So what?
Who's smart enough to take that story and take it anywhere that's...
And what are we talking... I mean, there's already a sequel.
Right.
It's called Her.
Yes. No.
She turns into the thumb drive.
No.
And then... becomes the AI, and then it's her voice. So it's
right, and then the voice, and step. Then the voice disappears, goes into outer space. Yes,
correct.
And then the next movie is under the skin.
Oh yeah, where
when she comes back as an alien and rediscovers humanity.
See, dude,
that's a trilogy.
Dude, that is
that's a trilogy.
That's one fucked up trilogy.
So, but it works though.
It does.
You gotta follow it.
So just what
the movies also get progressively less commercial and smarter and more advanced.
Weirder.
Yeah, as the character herself goes from dumb to advanced to another thing.
That really is a great trilogy, man.
And then when she comes back at the end, spoilers for under the skin. What spoilers for when she comes back and rediscovers humanity? Then the human tries to rape her and kills her.
Go figure. I mean, Scarlett Johansson.
It brings you back to... It actually brings you a whole full circle, because Lucy starts out with her as a woman being used and mistreated
as a
drug mule and being kidnapped, etc., etc. You know, patriarchal society treating women like that. But that sends her on this journey to becoming better, evolving, which is a terrible thing. It's like a love your rapist type of thing. I guess a European would come up with that kind of scenario. Are they all European filmmakers? No. Spike Jones in the middle there is America. Yeah. At the end, she comes back, rediscovers humanity, etc., etc., and then a man tries to rape her and then kills her, sets her on fire, and so it all comes full circle.
Yes.
It starts with man-on-woman violence, ends with man-on-woman violence. I don't know what this says about us as a show, a society, a culture, or anything, but...
I mean, it's something to think about.
I think it works... I think it works.
Me too. 100%.
He's making Lucy 2, and it's gonna suck. But who knows? Maybe it'll be okay.
Maybe. I mean, what's the next logical step? I mean, can we make it a four piece with Lucy 2? How does that work?
How does it work? Are we gonna prequel how she went from dumb to dumber before became a drug mule? It doesn't.
It doesn't make any sense. Yeah, nobody cares about that.
Here's an Infinity Stone theory for Thor Ragnarok that kind of makes sense.
Okay.
First off, also it ties into the whole how Hela is the goddess of death.
Yes.
So she's got to get herself the soul stone to become the goddess of death.
Correct.
Right? The theory, it's known already that Odin, Anthony Hopkins, his scenes were all shot in New York City.
Okay.
Or fake New York City, I should say. His character has been banished to
so he's on the run.
He's on the run. He's living in New York City as a homeless guy.
Yeah, that's right. That's the way Odin rolls on Earth. It's so weird.
And that's how we get Doctor Strange signs in, because Thor's down there. They're all looking for each other, right? Also, Loki, he recruits Loki for these scenes.
Correct.
Behind his eye patch.
Soul Stone.
He's had the stone the whole time behind his eye patch. Hela finds her, kills him, gets the stone. You've seen the trailer.
Yeah.
But see, yeah, this is the, yeah, you've seen the trailer. Thor throws his hammer. She catches it, breaks it, because she has a stone. And then she goes to Asgard, leaves him there, blah, 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 et cetera. Yeah, so well, does whatever.
She
Howard's wiped, story goes through
it
look, that.
It looks there. Like she wipes Asgard from the face.
And there goes Asgard and like snaps her fingers there all day. Like, she's looking at me, I'm a badass, right? It looks amazing.
It does.
So that does that make sense? You're the knowledgeable of the comic books. Does that track? And then it leads to Thanos being like, hey, look at that
chick. I mean, that could be one way of doing it. I mean, that's not the way it happened in the comic books that I'm aware of, but it's one. I mean, that makes sense.
They've veered a lot in the movies.
That makes sense, A, visually, and B, for what's already gone on and the story. I mean, the basics of the story are there. You know, Thanos is in love with death. There are the Infinity Stones. He's going to put them all on a fucking glove.
It's happening. It's all happening.
Exactly.
It's shown footage already of the first Avengers movie.
The specifics Comic-Con. Of all that, you know, whatever. I mean, so much has changed already. It doesn't really matter.
Rights issues. Some other studios have rights.
Exactly. As far as I'm concerned, like the MCU, like the cinematic universe, is like an alternate dimension.
Yeah.
And then there's the Marvel Universe. And even within the Marvel Universe, there's fucking alternate dimensions now, so fuck you guys.
It's Marvel Elseworlds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Apparently, within Warner Brothers and DC, the DC offices, they do not refer to their collection of movies as the DCEU. A writer came up with that in Entertainment Weekly as an offhand, even saying, this isn't the official name, but just for clarity purposes, for the rest of this article, I'm going to refer to it as DCEU. That caught on. Online and everywhere, fandom, it's referred to as a DCE. Within the offices, they call it something else. They don't say what they call it. They probably call it our own private shit show.
We're wasting a lot of money and not producing anything very good.
J.K. Simmons bringing it back to a DCEU. Speaking of them, it's almost like I planned it. Like, maybe I didn't. No, I didn't. I can't take any credit for that. J.K. Simmons talking about how none of his scenes were involved in any Joss Whedon reshoots.
Nice.
He says, quote, I wasn't involved with Joss at all. He was here for some of the reshoots, and I wasn't involved in that. But I think he's really dedicated to finishing a story that Zach was telling. Again, that's my understanding from my vantage point. Kind of hedging some weird bets there. Apparently, you know, the word coming off the set is that it's not so much... They don't want you to be able to tell which scenes like Joss Whedon did and which ones he didn't.
Okay. Gotcha.
They want it to be all as seamless as possible.
Yeah. Okay.
They're trying to Paul Walker behind the scenes. Instead of getting a CG Paul Walker, they got a real life Joss Whedon.
Interesting.
Right? Could it be good? Apparently.
Apparently
the story is quite epic.
Chris, there's always a chance that it could be good. There's always a chance that this could be the one where DC is like,
nah, yeah. I think Wonder Woman's already the one where everyone's like, yeah, like DC has shown
that cable. That didn't have anything to do with fucking Zack Snyder or any of those crazy ass.
Right. Yeah, that was Patty Jenkins, all her people.
Exactly. Yeah. So good props to them as far as I'm concerned.
They're all signed back on officially for Wonder Woman 2.
Well, like I said, as far as I'm concerned, there's, you know, because of that, it's slightly distanced. You know, just it's that one step back from the rest of the DC nonsense.
Okay, but then how about just better than Batman vs Superman?
I mean, better than most of the nonsense.
Hopefully,
I like parts of Man of Steel, Chris. There are entire sequences of Man of Steel that I love.
Yeah.
As a whole, I cannot give it my seal of approval.
I haven't watched it from start to finish, maybe since it was in theaters.
I mean, seriously. Pretty much as soon as Zod shows up, it just fucking goes downhill for me.
Really?
Yeah.
like Zod.
My least. I love Michael Shannon, but he's my least favorite part of that movie.
Okay. Fair enough. John Carpenter, his role on Halloween. We got a little bit of clarification exactly because, for all intents and purposes, he hasn't made a movie now like 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. The Ward was his last movie.
Never saw it.
It wasn't even that well received. And I think it's on Netflix. He is pretty much retired from writing and directing, but as a producer, we have a quote here from Jason Blum, head of Blumhouse. And remember, it's David Gordon Green and Danny McBride co-writing, yeah. David Gordon Green directing. It's going to be so weird. Jamie Lee Curtis is on board. They also just signed on Judy Greer is going to play a character in this movie, which is pretty great.
I used to say that I don't like horror movies, but in like the last couple of years, there have been so many so good horror movies.
No, they've been making good ones. True, right? They've finally been making good ones. Because horror is a trash genre. it's really cheap and easy to make horror films and make a quick buck, but yeah. People are like putting actual money into them, R-rated ones. Yeah. It's
so weird.
Guillermo del Toro is The Shape of Water. You think that's not going to be a little horrific when that lady starts making face with...
So looking forward to that.
That was born out of his draft of The Creature from the Black Lagoon, which he was doing that as a love story.
The second I saw that thing, I was like, who's doing is he doing The Creature from the Black Lagoon?
It's
a mixture of that and Water Dude from Hellboy.
And Water Dude from Hellboy, Abe Sapien. Oh. But yes, the bones of this story are for sure his, for a while he was working on Creature from the Black Lagoon for Universal, and then that fell apart, but now he's doing this. Back to Halloween, when it comes to John Carpenter, quote from Jason Blum, we don't take any big steps without his approval, capital H. So, for instance, hiring David Gordon Green and Dan McBride, he approved. He approved their pitch. He approved their first script. He approved bringing back Jamie Lee Curtis. So anytime we make a big creative turn, he's involved with that, and we don't do it without his blessing.
Awesome.
So yeah, he's involved in it. He's saying, yep. But then again, he could just be like, every time they call him, he's like, he makes up, he's like, oh, God damn it. He puts out his blunt or his pipe or whatever he's smoking. He's
I guarantee you.
He's on edibles. He's high all day long.
I guarantee you he doesn't even put it out.
I'm saying it's like, yeah, probably.
And then
answers the phone.
Dude, like,
what do you got?
What's up?
He's like, brr,
what do you need? All right. Fantastic. All right, fuck you, I'm out.
Like, oh, man, that was... $10,000 right there. Right there. Goes back to playing his video game or watching basketball or whatever he's doing. I mean, good for him, cashing him checks. I don't hate on that at all. You know what's funny, Domhnall Gleeson?
What about him?
Almost said no to the role of General Hux in Star Wars.
I mean, you know what? That's totally fine with me. It's great to see him in the franchise. It's good.
Well, he's reliable. He's bringing him, Oscar Isaac. They got great young actors.
Exactly.
Nice.
So that was good.
John Boyega, Daisy Ridley.
I mean, in all reality, that could be fucking anybody.
That character? Yes, it could be. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's
anybody.
A thing. That's a
man,
thing.
Man, woman, black, white, Chinese, mixed, anybody.
Exactly. That's the thing with these movies, right? So they're these huge movies, but they're so few Darth Vader's or Han Solo's, like, truly memorable roles that an actor can really work with.
Yeah.
A lot of the characters are just Cypher, stand-ins, Jedi, Stormtrooper, blah, blah, blah. So it is almost thankless to take on these roles sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, quote, why would I have thought saying no? Fame is the end goal for a lot of people, but it is not mine. I worry that accompanying fame would get in the way of how I live my life. It got a little crazy for a couple months. For a while, going out and having a drink with my friends was difficult, and then it died down.
Grow a beard, buddy. Nobody will even recognize you.
They all recognize him. People can put two and two together. I mean, he does. He's very fresh-faced in that. He does,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With the hair. Whoosh,
yeah.
That big old beard that he can grow. He is a Gleason, after all. Just like his daddy. It's like a wolf man. It's like they should do a remake of Teen Wolf with Brandon Gleeson and Domhnall Gleeson. Domhnall, he's a little too old, but they should still do a remake of that.
Alright, you heard that, universe, get on that.
Young adult wolf. Give me a young adult wolf with Domino's too young. Is he too young to play a dad of a teenager?
I don't know. Who is the brother in Mother? Because that's a Gleason too.
Brian?
Is he young enough? Is he talented enough?
I
he just fought with his brother on camera, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's the only bet I've seen of a brother. Yeah, it's pretty good, though. I mean, let me see. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 more stories. Here we go. Let's run these motherfuckers down. Disney and Universal have to team up to make M. Night Shyamalan's Glass. It's interesting that they are teaming up to make it, actually.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure he's been making movies on the cheap lately, and they make money, so...
They have been making them on the cheap lately, as a matter of fact. So I wonder how much they're giving them, because that's the thing. Now they're... involving Samuel Jackson, Bruce Willis. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's bigger names involved. There's money involved in this now.
And that's, when it comes to the production and this, that, the other, I'm sure there's not that much money involved. When it comes to paying these motherfuckers who are super famous now,
paying the motherfuckers,
then that's when it becomes expensive.
When it comes to paying the motherfuckers, and also when it comes to marketing, they got to split the bill on that. So. But they figured out a way to do it, and apparently it looks like, where is it for anyone who's curious? I don't know why you would be. Buena Vista Disney Pictures is responsible for distributing. No, never mind. That's the wrong sentence. Here we go. Universal is distributing the movie here in America.
Okay.
So when we see it's a Universal, I might say both, but it's Universal. Disney, Buena Vista, they're all releasing the movie worldwide. So Universal is getting the domestic dollars, Disney's getting the worldwide dollars.
That's splitting the difference, depending.
I see what you did there, Drew. Oh, shit. Well, yeah, that's how that is. Interesting how they're doing it. Tommy Lee Jones hated working with Jim Carrey on Batman Forever.
Seriously, when watching that movie, I just assumed that they were both very high on cocaine.
Were you really?
Because they are both just fucking... I mean, Jim Carrey's kind of an out there guy, mm-hmm. you know, especially when he's acting.
Well, now I know it might not have been cocaine. It may have been he's a manic depressive.
No. And then there... I mean, I just assumed Tony Jones was on cocaine.
He was just... maybe he may have been 90s. He may have been... or he may have just been hamming it up. Tommy Lee Jones has in the past said... he only did Batman Forever. He did not understand the movie at any point whatsoever, or the character, what was going on.
No.
He just did it because his kids.
Okay, then he was hamming it up.
Yeah, he was like, his kids want me to... my kids want me to do this, so that's why I'm going to do it. I'm literally doing this movie for them, and...
read a couple comic books, bro. Come on.
No, him, he's the last one horses. He literally does not a comic book. What would he... if you hand him one, oh my God. He was so curmudgeon when he was younger. And then in the 90s and even now, holy shit. So
I mean, I saw him in Ty Cobb. I get it.
That was,
That was such a long movie to watch in theaters.
Like, you need to tone it down. You're insane. One day during Batman Forever's production, Jim Carrey, he found out he was eating at a restaurant and Tommy Lee Jones was eating there as well. So he went over to say hello to him. And he said that Jones's blood... like drained from his face. He just turned white when he saw him. So, quote, he got up shaking. He must have been in mid-kill me fantasy or something like that. And he went to hug me and he said, "I hate you. I really don't like you." And I said, "What's the problem?" And I pulled up a chair, which probably wasn't smart. And he said, "I cannot sanction your buffoonery."
End quote. Wow. Yes. I cannot sanction your buffoonery.
Such a Tommy Lee Jones thing to say.
I cannot sanction your buffoonery.
I know you can't. I understand. But you have to. Do you?
No, you don't. No. I don't have to sanction it. I just have to accept it.
Jim Carrey, maybe. I don't know. Maybe he also resented, because Jim Carrey was super antic and crazy, but that was his style. He was right off of Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, and The Mask. Like, Jim Carrey was hot. He had Liar Liar, Dumb and Dumber come up after that. No. Like, he was in the middle of a streak.
Yeah.
$20 million man by that point, I think. Was Batman the one that did it for him? Got him 20 mil, or was it Liar Liar? I can't remember. One of them. He got paid. Pacific Rim Uprising. It's coming. All right? We already mentioned John Boyega briefly, quickly. I muttered his name when we were talking about Star Wars and Donald Gleason. He is playing Jake Pentecost, son of Stacker Pentecost. We have a sort of plot detail, actually, official plot synopsis of what this movie could possibly be about.
Okay.
The official plot synopsis, blah, 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 blah. Jake Pentecost fits in, blah, blah, blah. Here we go. He's a son of him, and he was, you know, the studio's released, and why don't you just, like, give me a nice quote? He was once a promising Jaeger pilot. This is John Boyega's character. But he abandoned his training and became involved in the criminal underworld.
Ooh.
However, he will be given another chance to prove himself when a new threat appears to threaten the cities. How terribly.
A new threat appears to threaten the cities.
That's what it says. Of the world. Jake will be, I'm reading this off of a Cinema Blend. They pay their writers.
Hack writers.
They pay them.
Hacks.
Jake will be approached by his estranged sister, fan favorite Mako Mori, who is leading a new generation of Jaeger pilots against a new threat. Also confirmed, Scott Eastwood, member of the cast, will be playing rival pilot by the name of Lambert. Bern Gorham and Charlie Day are coming back as well. Charlie Hunnam is not because of scheduling. Mm,
that's fine.
Because he's kind of in demand at the moment for some weird reason.
Like I said, whatever.
Pacific Rim Uprising set for release March 23rd, 2018. I wonder what the threat's going to be. Is it just bigger monsters or something new?
Dun, dun, dun.
Bum, bum, bum. Okay. We watched those Blade Runner shorts.
Yes.
What was the one with Dave Bautista?
That was the last one. Whatever that was called. It was the
2048.
Yeah, it's like it was the one where it was like 1 year before, and I guarantee you the dude that made the phone call. He might have been calling Ryan Gosling, because I know in the,
Officer K.
Yeah, because you see in the trailer he confronts Bautista about something. Yeah,
that's how the trailer starts.
No,
going out to his place, and it's a very creepy scene.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Dave Bautista almost didn't get the part.
Mm, that would have been a shame.
Would have been a shame because he was great in that short,
mm-hmm.
Right? It was a good little short.
Yeah,
directed by Luke Scott, Ridley Scott's son. Why do you think he may not have got it? After meeting with Denis Villeneuve, sitting down talking to him, why do you think he may not have got the part initially? Because Denis told him immediately in that first meeting why he couldn't cast him.
Maybe too big?
Too big? Okay, fair enough. He's a giant. He's a giant.
He's a fucking huge. He's a huge man.
He's a goddamn giant. That's a great reason. No. Not too big. Quote, the funny thing is that when I first met Denis, because I wasn't originally asked to audition. I bit my teeth together. Now. I was actually asked to fly out and meet with Denis, and so I did. I was filming Guardians 2, and I went out to meet with him, and we weren't very far in the conversation, like really not far in the conversation, when he said, I hate to tell you this, my friend, but you are too young for this part.
Mm.
And I was heartbroken, not only heartbroken, but I'm used to being told I'm too old for parts, and now I'm just frustrated. I just can't win. I can't win in this town. What a... Too old or too young.
Too young. Interesting.
Isn't that crazy?
No. Well, I mean,
he's in his 40s, I guess.
They did old him up, though. I mean, he definitely looks like, he's got that gray grizzle on there. It's like they did some hair work on him to maybe old him up.
Yeah, they did definitely make him look older. But he got a second meeting with Denis, and actually, because what happened was the producers that liked him a lot.
Yeah.
And they were kind of pushing for it. And to Denis' credit, when the producers kept bringing him back up and bringing him back into the process, he never shut them down.
Yeah.
He was like, because I guess he just liked the guy. So he was like, all right, sure, let's give him another shot. So he came back and he says, we sat down, we talked for a couple hours just about everything. This is again with Denis. About movies and life in Montreal, and I walked away feeling very satisfied with that because I really respect him. I admire his work, so I went back. But then they asked me to do a makeup test, and I said, sure, no problem. I want this part, and I did, and they sent the pictures in. Still doesn't work. Still doesn't work. Finally, they meet again for a third time. He went in for a final test. They wanted to do a screen test. The producers were really supportive of me getting this part, but they were never going to go against his wishes, and he just thought I was too young. I didn't work. And then I did the screen test, and he said it works. And I said yes. When I got there, he was also very supportive, and he was saying, I'm so glad I chose you for this. So he had to keep going back, and he kept getting turned down over and over. First, he was too young, and then the makeup didn't work or whatever, and then finally...
It did.
Finally, it all came together for him. He did, and now he's in the movie, which is coming out on Friday. Tomorrow night, actually.
Yeah.
Thursday night. Long movie, 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Oh, jeez.
Man, it's going to be long. It's going to be long. Let's finish up with a couple TV stories. First of all, V for Vendetta being developed as a TV series.
Okay.
By Channel 4.
Ooh.
In the UK. Same people who produce Black Mirror and other stuff like that. Alan Moore famously unhappy with adaptations of his own work. Very curmudgeon man.
He hates it. He's just a pissed off old wizard.
There's a possibility that for him, the idea of V for Vendetta being adapted into a series by a state-owned television network
is enough
for him to, like, blow his own brains out.
I don't think he'll blow his own brains out.
Like this is it. This is the end. I don't want to exist in this world anymore.
This is the end.
The irony of this is too much.
We are one step closer to what I wrote about.
How does that happen? How does that exist? Isn't that weird?
Science fiction is only science fiction until it becomes science fact.
Satire is only satire until it's 2017.
Oh, shit. Satire is fucking reality.
That's crazy. Final story. Kids in a Hall. Possible reunion. Kevin McDonald. Is that his name? He said in an interview very recently, actually when he was here in Florida, he was getting ready to do a show. And he was doing an interview, and he said that Lorne Michaels hit him up. Because apparently he's the wrangler. Yeah. And Lorne Michaels hit him up and he said, hey, I want something kind of like Mr. Show. 6-episode revival, 7-episode, something small that we can just put together at one time, put it out there and sell it. And Kevin's obviously open to the idea and he says that they're going to try to do it. They haven't even had a conference call yet because some of them are very busy and it's hard to get the schedules getting. And he also says, most likely, knowing them, that at least one person's going to be against the idea.
But
it's on the table and a Kids in the Hall reunion is possible.
That's cool.
And I think that's cool. Comedy is a subjective thing, but when it comes to objective. Comedy is an objective thing. And when it comes to Kids in the Hall, I am a big fan. Big fan. So I would give them the benefit of the doubt and say, like, yes, bring it on. Bring it on, the old men.
I mean, I would love to see some of those old characters come back.
Sure.
I would love to see some new stuff.
And some new stuff, too, you know. Based on, like, our current social mores and cultural tics and whatnot, you know? I love that show so much. It was on Netflix for a while, and I was working at an office job where I could have it was when I got the HTC, the first one, the big old screen, and I had it set up with the kickstand. It's when they had the kickstand.
Oh, yes.
So I'd be sitting there in my office, and I had the kickstand set up, and I'd be working because it was just mindless, stupid work, and I watched the entire series, Kids in the Hall. Wow. Mm-hmm.
On a tiny screen.
Decent-sized screen.
Right next to a bigger screen where you were working.
Well, because I was working. I needed the screen for my emails and the Microsoft Word, and that's it, I guess, and the internet browser, too, for looking up, quote, information.
Yep. I get it.
I'm hungry.
So am I.
Alright. That's the end of the episode. Peace.
A PFT Media production.